Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to this week's live stream of the weekly Authentic Persuasion live training session, here to help you close more deals, make more money. Today is April 8th, 2022. It's Friday. It's noon Eastern. It's a great day. Spring is in the air in most of the places here in Southwest Florida. It's definitely getting to that point where things are warming up, for sure. Not a bad time of year to be here. I do these sessions every Friday. This is session 27. If you haven't caught the previous ones, make sure to check those out everywhere. This is being streamed directly to the Zoom webinar group that's watching, also being rebroadcast on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and you might be also listening to this as a future replay on the audio version on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. If so, welcome wherever you're at. Give this a like, leave a comment, say hello if you're listening to the podcast. Make sure to subscribe, leave a rating review. If you're on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. We just crossed 1,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel, which is really fun to be putting out content and getting things over there. If you haven't subscribed, that would be the big thing I would ask, so we can just keep the momentum. I'm just putting more and more content. I have a new, some new video series I'm putting out there. But if you go to YouTube and just search Jason Cutter, you can find and go to channels. You'll find the channel. You'll see it there. Tons of videos. And so that's been fun. If you're new to this, welcome. The reason I do these sessions is because in the process of writing Selling with Authentic Persuasion, which is the book that I published 2 years ago, I just realized fully what I was on a mission to do, and also what the world of sales was lacking. And one of the biggest things is a lot of people who think sales is gross. Sales is a dirty word, whether it's as a customer who would never think of being in sales because your experience with salespeople, or you're in sales and you're hesitating and holding back because you're worried that to be successful in sales, you have to do gross things. You have to use manipulation. You have to lie. You have to cheat. You have to do all these things. And fundamentally, that's not true. But what happens is many people get into sales and then end up being order takers because they truly want to help people, but they don't want to be gross. And so that's why I do this. That's why I wrote this book. That's why I do the training that I do. That's why I'm hoping you're tuned in so that you can get some value from this to help you be successful in sales. And my mission is to help empower over 1 million authentic persuaders in the world of sales. Because if we think about that, if we can change how we sell and look at the role of sales, and sales being service and being done by a professional, then we can change the expectation of customers. And we're all customers, which means when we're out there in the world, we will have a higher standard of what we want from a salesperson who's helping us make the right decision. And we will collectively stop tolerating all the bad actors and the things that we don't like as consumers. And we will shift how we buy and buy from professionals. So that's why I'm here. That's why I do this every Friday. It's why I do all the other content. If you want to find out more about this or about me, go to jasoncutter.com. It's an easy one-stop shop as a hub. I'm going to talk about something else here at the end of the session relative to a project. I mentioned it last week, but the best place to start, no matter what, if you're new to my content or if you're not sure what else could help you in the realm of your sales, or if you lead a sales team, go to jasoncutter.com. Now, last week,
session 26. The title of that was Marry the Vision, Date the Strategy. And it was the catalyst for the conversation last week came from the chapter that I was a part of in the book Voices for Leadership. And that was a compilation book that published a couple of weeks ago. Super exciting to have that be technically my second book that was published, hardcover physical book. Marry the Vision, Date the Strategy. If you didn't check it out, check out session 26. That was about you and your role, or when you're running a company or leading a team, making sure that you're married to the vision. Where do you want to go? What does that look like? What does the final destination look like? And then dating the strategy, which means how we get there, what we have to do, how we have to pivot, the word from 2020 that most people are familiar with, whatever we have to change, how we have to attack it differently, that's going to change. We're dating that strategy. We're dating. We're making moves, we're making decisions in and out of it. At the end of the day, no matter what, we're married to this vision. We know where we're heading. That's not going to stop. Make sure to check that out. Again, if you lead a team, if you run a team full of salespeople or anybody in an organization or leading anybody in any capacity, make sure to check out session 26 and also get the Voices for Leadership book. If you want the details for that, let me know. But if you go to Amazon and search for Voices for Leadership, you can find that. This is the other interesting. If you're in sales, I really recommend checking out that session 26 as well, because if you remember one of the chapters in my book, if you've read it, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, I actually talk about sales being leadership. When you're a sales professional, you're actually leading your prospect. You are pulling them along on the journey across the finish line to a better place. You're not pushing them. Most of the reasons why sales feels gross as a customer is because you feel like you're being pushed or tricked, right? And manipulated. When you're doing it from a place of leadership, you're actually pulling people along with you and to a better place, like I said. All right. So let's dive into today's content. Today's focus is on the sales experience. And the title for today is Why Does the Sales Experience Matter? First, let's talk about what is the sales experience? Well, most people are familiar now with the customer experience or the customer journey. In my feeling about it, when a lot of people use that term, even professionals in the industry use that term, they look at the customer experience. And then even like a call that I had yesterday, the customer experience, which starts with marketing. Technically, if we want to be real about it, a customer experience may start with marketing, but they're not a customer, right? They're a prospect. They're a lead. The enrollment, the sales, the persuasion journey starts with marketing. And of course, the customer journey can start with marketing. It's just really early. It's like the preseason. It's like the before they become a customer, here's what has to happen. And I get that. And a lot of companies just want to put that one label on it. But I think what doesn't get enough focus, especially within sales operations, right? The hub, the silo of sales itself, is the sales experience. Is specifically, what does that look like? What does that feel like? Which we're going to talk a little bit about. Here's why this matters. Here's the fundamental reasons why the sales experience matters. Is one is to the company, two is to your employees. Ultimately, it's about those prospective customers and moving them forward. The sales experience is what that is like. Think about when you go into a retail store for the first time. Are you greeted by somebody? Does it feel nice in there? Does it feel weird in there? Is there a good vibe? Is there a bad vibe? Is there music? What's the lighting? What's on display? Can you find someone to get help? We've all been to stores where as soon as you walk in the door, you're pounced on and you're like, just give me a moment to breathe. Other times, people approach you at the right time and it feels nice. And that's like the kind of service and support that you want. And then there's times where you go into certain kinds of stores where literally you couldn't find an adult to help you if you tried, right? You just can't seem to find anybody. And so that's the experience you're having. You're not even a customer yet. You're thinking about being a customer. And so when you're running sales operations, you've got to focus on that. It's so important to understand that, right? Where the sales experience is about what that person, the prospect, is dealing with, what your employees are dealing with, and then ultimately what your company is facilitating. A lot of organizations do not spend enough time on the sales experience. what they think, and this is what I see, and this might trigger some of you watching or listening to this, is they think, okay, well, I was good in sales, so now I'm leading this sales team, and I just need to hire a bunch of other people who are good in sales, and then I need to get them the right amount of phone numbers to call or inbound leads or whatever that looks like, doors to knock on. And if I just do that and I give them some basic training, then that will be enough to close deals. The problem is that doesn't create a consistent sales experience. And you're then abdicating to each one of your salespeople that they know how to create the right sales experience, something that's authentic and truthful and valuable and accurate, and something that people are going to appreciate when that experience is done. And it's going to lead to them being a customer now and in the future, like a long-term customer, which is ultimately what you're going to want. A lot of organizations just think, hey, take some salespeople, take some leads, throw them out there. That should work. Maybe give them some training, maybe a CRM, maybe a phone system, maybe some accountability, give them a bonus structure that pays them for closing deals. And that's all you need. Well, then what you get is a team of 30 salespeople who are doing 30 different things and creating 30 different experiences. And where that's really challenging is how dangerous that is to the prospective customers and what they're getting, both from a not successful in becoming a customer because that experience wasn't the right one. The process was, I talked about sales process a few weeks ago, but also where, especially in this day and age, if it's a really negative experience or they don't enjoy it or it's not effective, what that can do to your online reputation as well, where someone, they don't even have to be a customer to complain about you. They can talk about what it was like to not even be a customer in that sales experience. And then you're just making it more difficult on yourself and it's dangerous. And that can literally cost you a ton of money in opportunities that you won't have because people are going to look you up and they're going to research you, especially in this day and age. So the biggest thing is to notice if you're in that category where you're literally just hoping, I've got a great product. I think this is amazing. I think everyone wants this, right? I just throw this out there and then people will buy it. Right? If we just explain it and I go through this demo and I go through these slide decks, or I just, you know, kind of go through the script, this should work, but it doesn't. That doesn't create it. And really what you want is a sales experience. You also want a scalable sales experience. A scalable sales experience means that you know that what one person, one salesperson is doing, others are doing as well within the confines of them also bringing their personality and the human side to it. And you know that if you add more people to the team, that same experience is going to grow and it's just going to keep happening over and over again. If you have another office and you start another branch, then you know that that sales experience is going to happen there as well. Think about anytime you've been to, let's say, a franchise restaurant, franchise retail. It's the same experience for that brand. Where you go, you know what's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen and it feels off, you can tell. For example, I spend a lot of time going to Starbucks. I've been to a lot of Starbucks all over the place. I don't drink coffee, but Starbucks has the refresher, which I found years and years ago when they launched that. And that's like my go-to. So that's where I will go to work or when I'm traveling or just want something to drink or meeting somebody. It's really easy because I know they have something I will want that's not coffee. I know what it's like to go into a Starbucks where the experience is off more than it should be because I know what it should be like. Maybe they're struggling with staff. Maybe they're struggling having a bad day. Who knows? But you know what that's going to be like. You want to build that same thing. You, as a leader in an organization, if you're running a company, you want to make sure that that experience is the same in your sales process as people are coming through that funnel. They don't know what others have seen. They only know what they're going through and you want them to do it. And you want to build it like you have multiple offices in multiple locations, maybe multiple countries. Like literally what you want to do is imagine that's what you're building it for. Now, you may never have multiple locations. You might never have offices in other countries. That doesn't matter. You still want to build the sales experience in such a way where you know if you did, If I started an office in Belize right now, I know that it would be the same experience for my customers. They would know no different. The reason I know that is because I've done that before. Prior to consulting, that's what I would do internally in organizations is, all right, let's have four offices in different parts of the world managed by different people, but it's all the same. It's the same leads, same script, same compliance, same requirements, same accountability, same bonus structure, even if the pay is different, but it's literally the same sales experience. Someone who comes through the funnel of marketing and goes to this office, or this rep, or this team, it should be the same. And I want them to be the same because I know that that's the experience I want them to have, mostly because I know that's what's effective in the persuasion process, and then also as them being a customer and being a customer long-term. So that's important. Now, one of the things, as I'm talking about this, a lot of you listening or watching might be a salesperson, independent contributor, right? Like you're focused on contributing and closing deals and making money and closing sales. This is also important. I talked about process a few weeks ago, but you also want to focus on that sales experience and you want it to be consistent. You want it to be consistent where you know when from the moment you talk to somebody to when you're done, you know what that should feel like. You know what you're giving to that person as an experience. You know the path you're taking them through and you know what you're doing and consistency. Again, I talked about it in the process discussion. One of the biggest things is that in case somebody comes back to you later and says, hey, you didn't say that, or I don't remember you telling me that, you know you do the same thing every single time. And that is the key. That will help you a lot in your sales role. All right. So let's talk about also why companies don't focus on the sales experience, why they just take some sales reps, take some leads and data and just throw it out there. Well, one of the big myths that I think perpetuates, and I still don't know why, I don't know what to do about it, is the playing the numbers game. A lot of sales organizations think it's just a numbers game. And the just is the important part there, that it's just a numbers game. If we make enough dials, if we knock on enough doors, if we set enough appointments, if we make people sit through enough demos, we will close enough deals. But that doesn't work. It doesn't work because that is a painful way to go for your sales team, because that will burn them out, especially if you're playing just the numbers game instead of improving and in improving your numbers game. If you're just playing a raw numbers game, that's not good. The other part is your customers don't care that you're playing a numbers game. They only know that one experience. And if you're not training your reps, if you're hiring the wrong people, if they're not equipped with the right tools, if they don't have a script and a process, if they don't know how to be effective and professional at their job with asking questions and actually caring about people and helping guide people instead of trying to be the hero, your customers, if they have one experience with your company, you have one shot with them. That's all that matters. No matter how special you think you are as a company, unless you're an organization that has the market on one particular thing, and we might say something like Apple has cornered the market, and they have. They've cornered the market. They have a monopoly on Apple phones, right? Not all phones. If you really don't like Apple, you don't like their service, you don't like their technology, you could go somewhere else. Fundamentally, though, if you like Apple products, you want Apple products, you have to put up with Apple service, Apple sales, Apple stores, whatever. You have to stand in line for hours if you want the new phone when it comes out. You have to play their game. Most everyone else watching or listening to this, you're not the only one out there. You're not the only snowflake in your industry, would be my guess. If a potential customer doesn't like the experience they have with your salesperson, they're not going to tolerate it. They will literally find someone else, or they will respond to the other 9 phone calls they got when they filled out a form online and now they're being barraged, or the other emails, or just go down the Google search and find the next company that can help them and find somebody who doesn't suck. Fundamentally, I know that's harsh. I know companies don't want to hear it. I know a lot of leaders and businesses think what they do is amazing and they have no competition and everyone should want them. That's because you're stuck in hero mode. You think you're the hero of everyone's story, and you got to understand that's not the role. And even if you do have kind of that market share, have to understand customers still aren't going to tolerate. They would rather do nothing if they have a choice than to tolerate bad sales experience, bad service, bad customer experience. So always remember that, right? Like when you play the numbers game, generally there is a wake of destruction that follows in that, right? With your team burning them out and then making them just beat their head against the wall over and over again of playing the numbers game. And then also with your customers and then actually the non-customers who don't want to play this game. Now, there is truth to a numbers game, right? You've got to figure out what that formula looks like. If I make this many dials, I'll have this many appointments, which will get me this many sales. That's the numbers game. You need to know the numbers, but just playing the numbers game, that's terrible and dangerous. But that philosophy leads to not building a sales experience because they think, oh, it's just numbers. I'll just dial more. We'll just send more letters. We'll just run more ads. We don't have to actually get better at sales or our sales experience or build something that is more effective. Just do more, right? Spend more on the marketing. The next part on the list is what I just kind of mentioned, which is companies who are only thinking about themselves and not thinking about others. Again, if we refer back to the conversations, the training sessions I've done around the hero's journey and what your customers are looking for, a lot of companies think they're the hero. So they think everyone should want what they have. The truth is that your customers think they're the hero and they're looking for a guide. And when you make it all about yourself and you don't care about the experience, then that's bad. And again, if you've been to a trade show, a conference, anywhere where you've walked up to maybe a booth or you've called in somewhere and had someone just start talking to you about something you might be interested in buying, and all they're doing is talking about themselves, their company, how amazing they are, what it does, the facts, the features, the benefits, they're in hero mode. And you as the customer can be like, yeah, but I only care about myself. Like, don't tell me all that stuff. Like, what about me? So make sure you focus on that. The next reason I see companies not focusing on the sales experience and not doing it is because they weren't raised to care about prospects and customers. What I mean by that is a lot of people, I'm going to call them old school salespeople, maybe pure salespeople, who think their job is just to persuade as many people as possible, sell people, move people forward, manipulate whatever, close deals. They don't actually care about the long term. They don't care about them being a customer. They're short-sighted. They're focused on their numbers, their metrics, their money, their quota, keeping their job, and they don't care what happens after the deal is signed or the card is swiped or whatever happens. They don't care. It's like somebody else's problem. It's not a big deal, right? When I used to do remodeling and buying houses and getting them fixed up, and you know, one of the things I learned from the teams that used to help me out, the different teams, is that each one in the process only cared about themselves. For example, somebody would come in and frame out a room, or you know, we're finishing a basement, and the framers would come in, and it wouldn't be great, and they'd say, let the drywallers fix it, right? Let the drywallers deal with it, right? And then they'd leave. Then the drywallers come in and they've got to deal with these walls that are like, you know, I've just seen some crazy stuff. Drywallers do it. There's cracks, there's holes, there's all kinds of mess. And the drywallers are like, let the mutters and tapers deal with it, right? They move on, they let it. And then they're like, let the painters deal with it, right? It's like pushing the problem somewhere else. They've done their job. They don't care. They got paid. They're moving on. It's somebody else's problem. You see that a ton in sales, where salespeople are only focused on now. They don't care. And they don't, whatever happens, happens. It's not their problem, basically. And what happens? Those salespeople move up in organizations, run organizations, start companies, do things from a leadership perspective, and they still don't fully understand or care or appreciate the full customer life cycle. And so what happens is they don't care about the sales experience because they're not thinking long-term. Until you're an owner where you're hemorrhaging attrition from your pipeline, right? You have so much churn and you have cancellations, you have refunds, you have chargebacks. Then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, why is this happening? Hey, sales, you need to do something different. Sometimes, maybe not. Sometimes they just blame customer service or retention. But that's usually the point where it matters. Most of the time, companies don't care, especially on the sales side. So one of the biggest things you can do is actually care. Care about that customer the whole way through. Remember, it's one company, it's one customer going through the whole journey. They don't care about the department, but you should. If you care about your company, you want it to succeed, you want to make sure you're focusing on it in the long term. Next thing on the list that I have here of why companies don't focus on the sales experience is they think that if they hire the right people, that will just work out well, right? right? If I hire the right people, and then I offer lots of deals at the end of the week, at the end of the month, end of the quarter, end of the year, if I do those things, that will help me close more deals. And yes, that might close more deals, but is that getting you the profitable level, consistent, predictable, scalable? And then is it a good sales experience? Just because you're offering end of quota discount or a quarter discounts to your potential clients, right, to your prospects as a way to bribe and manipulate them into signing up with you now instead of waiting until they wanted to sign up with you, that doesn't mean the sales experience is good. And I only have data from a few instances, but I promise this is true more times than it's not. If you're listening to this or watching this, you want to check this out. Go to your deals that you close at the end of the quarter in a rush with a discount. Everything that you offered a discount. Now match that up with the retention. How long do they stay? Do they actually onboard? If you have an onboarding process, do they stay very long as a customer? What is their lifetime value and even net promoter score as a customer with you versus the ones where you didn't offer a discount? It wasn't last minute. It wasn't at the end of the week, month, quarter, or year, and you didn't basically bribe them to be a customer, right? Because that doesn't create a good customer experience. It creates a customer today, but what is that going to do for you long-term, right? That doesn't matter. So that's the list of things of why I see companies not doing it. If any of that resonates with you, great. I joke about it, but it's so true. The first step is realizing where you're at now versus where you would like to be. A lot of companies think they have arrived. They're great. They do sales great. I've even heard from people who haven't hired me. I call them the non-clients, where they literally to my face, I had this one organization that said, we know our reps should close more deals. We know they should be more effective. We know they're leaving a lot of money on the table. We know we're spending more on marketing than we probably should, but we don't really care. We're making enough money. We know that they're not going to like change and they're not going to handle change. And they're not going to handle you coming in to train them or teach them. They're not going to like doing anything different. So we're not going to do anything different. And that kind of goes back to what I talked about last week and marry the vision, date the strategy. And then also this, if you care about the sales experience, you care about your team and their effectiveness and having the right people in your sales organization, that will be a part of what I talked about last week, you know, in what Jim Collins talks about in Good to Great, right? Get the right people on the bus, get them in the right seats in the bus so that everyone's going the right direction towards that vision. That's different. If you're just throwing people out there because you just want to make some money as long as it lasts, this isn't for you. But if you want to create something scalable and more effective, then this is great. If you got triggered by anything that I've been talking about so far, great, because that means it resonates with you. There's some truth to it, or maybe it's all true. Maybe you checked all of these boxes, went through, and that's great. That's okay. Because if you're still in business and you're doing well now or doing well enough now, and you know that there's more that you can do and you can solidify things and put in a foundation, that's great. I mean, that's what I do a lot of times. I have many companies who have hired me as a consultant and an advisor where they're doing okay. It's not that it's a complete dumpster fire. It's not that they're at ground zero. They're doing okay, but they know they're missing a lot of things. They want to bring in resources. They want to shore up that foundation so they can continue to grow. They've kind of built a house on sand and it's kind of working, but any earthquake, any issues, any challenges, anything like a pandemic comes along and that whole thing could fall down. And so it's about making sure, and that's okay. Now, let's talk about how do you focus on this as we wrap up for today. How do you focus on the sales experience? Well, the first thing is understanding all the categories and areas in a sales operation that matter the most. And if you want to see an example of this, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and put in the subject iceberg, or you can put out scalable sales success iceberg if you want. But I have a diagram that shows essentially what people you can picture. It's an iceberg where, you know, what you see above the surface is like 5-10%, and then what is below the surface. But here's the key, right? Is it, most people are familiar with that image and that analogy with sales. What I have found through all of my experience and so many different verticals and all the clients I've had and the projects I've done is that what you see above the surface, if we think about it as a sale and a sales team, above the surface is the sale, That's the high fives, the ringing of the bells, the hitting the gong, the celebration, the spiffs, the whatever, right? That's what you see above the surface. It's just the tip of the iceberg. If you want to make a scalable sales operation where that happens over and over again, it's predictable, it's consistent, you can add more people, and you know you're going to get exponentially more results, that takes everything below the surface that you don't see. A lot of people in sales and sales leadership think, I'm just looking for sales, the sales, 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 sales. And then they have struggles with growing, right? They try to grow, they fall backwards, they go here, they fall backwards, it just doesn't work. Below the surface in what I have put together is 24 categories, everything from recruiting to comp plans, to technology, to marketing, to even corporate company culture, right? Mission, vision, and core values. And so email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I'll send that visual. I also have a checklist I can send you as well. And then you can go through and just see how you're doing in all these categories. You really want to shore those up. You want to make sure you have something in place for all those 24 categories. Might seem overwhelming. It is for a lot of the clients that I work with. At first, it's like, what do we have? We don't have much of anything. We don't have training. We don't have scripts. I don't have a really good comp plan. I don't have a succession plan. I don't have leadership training. That's okay. We'll just start building it, right? As soon as you do that, you're getting things in place, and you will have an amazing sales experience and an amazing sales operation over time. So that's the first thing. And in that note, just do it one at a time. You know that you're missing a comp plan that's detailed, that outlines all the rules of the game, right? Like if we both sit down and play Monopoly, we can both read the rules. We agree on those rules in the book. And then we know, all right, this is how we're going to play the game. That's what your comp plan should be. Your comp plan job description isn't just close these deals, make this money. It's if this, 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 if you don't, here's the consequences. Here's the accountability piece, all of that. Your compensation plan should be that detailed where everyone knows the rules of the game and there's no surprises if the numbers are met or not met, right? So just take it one step at a time. Most people, most companies I deal with, they know what's missing the most. Usually when they approach me, we don't have to do a lot of discovery to find what's missing. They know the hot button items. That's where we start, and then just keep diving in and keep fixing things. So that's one of the biggest things. And then lastly, on how do you do this is understanding that the sales experience is more than just how your prospects become customers and feel good about it. It actually starts with your salespeople. Your salespeople are a reflection of your company and how it feels, how towards and views your customers, your salespeople. Have you ever been in a restaurant, a store, or even over the phone, talk to somebody that was in a sales role or a customer facing role, right? So imagine you go into a retail store and the experience is just not great, right? Either they're really pushy or it's just negative, right? It's not what you expected. It's not what you wanted. So many times you can trace that up the organizational chart to how the organization feels, right? The type of experience you have at a Walmart, for example, is a reflection of how it feels, not about its people, because at some level they care about their people, but they also care about volume, they care about discounts. And so you can feel that versus if you go into a Nordstrom. Nordstrom cares about their employees. They care about the customer experience, the sales experience. They want to do whatever it takes to make people happy, and they feel more of a concierge versus stocking shelves or helping people, you know, just check out. That comes from the top down. So if you want to care and build an amazing sales experience, you have to start with your team because they're an extension of whatever that looks like. So you need to make sure that you have your core company culture in place, your mission, vision, core values. You're married to that vision. You know where you're going. Then you want to make sure you have training, leadership development, you have the tools, the scripts, you even start before all that and you're recruiting the right people who are going to be a good fit with the kind of sales you want them to do. Are you hiring the people who will follow your process to be successful, or are you still hiring a bunch of mercenary lone wolves who just want to do whatever they want to do and they're not going to follow your guidelines and they're going to create dangerous sales experience? So, focus on that. A lot of people come in and they go, all right, so I want to make this sales experience. I need to do this. I need this script. I got to work on this email sequence and this cadence. We got to work on this branding. And like they do all this stuff where they skip over their internal staff, or they skip over their employees to go straight to the potential prospective customers. And that's missing something vital, which is your salespeople. Your team is the face of the company. That's what the people will experience. So you want to make sure you're giving them as many tools as possible, investing them in them as much as possible, and ensuring they know the vision, they understand the current strategies, and they know what you want that experience to be like. So that's it for today for why the sales experience matters so much. Some of you watching, listening, some of the people I know in the audience and people that follow me and interact, you get this, right? You know that the sales experience matters. There's so many referral partner, business partner relationships I have that tune into this, and I know you get it. Do your clients get it? For the rest of you, do you get it? Do you want to make a change? Is this important to you? Hopefully it is. Now, if you'd like to read a fun book that will help you with this, my main call to action today, other than getting the iceberg checklist for your team, is to check out the Reasons Not to Focus on the Sales Experience book. So my friend Nick Glimsdahl and I published that, came out last week. I'm trying to think of what today was. So it came out last week on Monday, and that's available on Amazon. You can also go to salesexperiencebook.com to read about it, and then it will direct you to Amazon because that's where it's available through. And if you're interested, and this is what we're finding, is that sales leaders and company owners are listening to this kind of discussion. They're finding that book or hearing Nick and I talk about that book with them and what's in the book. And when you check it out on Amazon, you'll see what I mean. And then knowing that that is a great starting point for a discussion internally with building an amazing sales experience. And so we're doing sessions, group bulk purchases for that. So if you have a sales team, check that out. Reach out to us individually. You can email info@salesexperiencebook.com to find out more, to reach Nick and I. And then we can chat with you about how this could help your whole organization as just a tool to get you where you want to be, right? To get you from where you are now with your sales experience to something that's scalable, repeatable, consistent, and just amazingly effective with your potential customers, making them into customers, and then they can enter into your customer journey and the customer experience. So that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Again, if you're watching this, wherever you're watching this, hit the like button, share it, leave a comment, say hello. All that stuff helps. If you haven't, like I mentioned in the beginning, check out the YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search Jason Cutter. Find the channel on there and then subscribe. It's growing. It's great. I'm making more videos, sharing more things on there. So there's lots of content in there. Whenever you're looking for something to help you with sales and sales leadership, that's great. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure to subscribe. That's it. Hope you all have a great Friday, and I will catch you next week on the next training session.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.